SB Nation Radio here on 106.7 The Fan. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada. And don't forget, follow us on Twitter at SB Nation Radio. Hit us up on the Facebook fan page at SB Nation Radio as well. And like us, because that's always good. And somebody everybody seems to like are the Washington Capitals and this man, Adam Vingan, who joins us right now. KOL is the blog and, of course, SB Nation DC Capitals contributor. The Red Hot Capitals, the toast of the town, as is Adam. How you doing today, Adam?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
How does it feel to be the toast of the town?
It's quite an honor. I don't know if I can live up to it, though.
Let's face it. We have low expectations around here with what's going on with all the other teams.
You're mean, man. I don't know, man. I didn't think even if we had high expectations, he could live up to it.
Yeah, I think so,
I don't know, man. Our contributor, man, he deserves better.
Yeah, he is. No, he's definitely the toast of the town of this show. No doubt about it. Oh, let's talk goalies. I mean, last week we were talking about how we had this whole thing figured out. Okay, Neuwirth is the guy. He's been so good. Of course, you know, a fluky injury in the Tampa game where the piece of his metal mask gets him in the eye, has to be removed. And now, wow, Braden Holtby is just been a great story and certainly has been playing well. So now where are we with the goalies, the ever, you know, continuing merry-go-round of goalies with this team?
Well, Bruce Boudreau mentioned during practice yesterday that the goaltending competition has now gone from two men to three men. So Varlamov, Neuberg, and Holtby are all being considered. And, of course, we know Bruce Boudreau is a little finicky when it comes to lines, and it's also the same when it comes to goaltending. He has this win-you're-in mentality. And under that logic, Holtby is the man right now. He's 4-0-1 in his last five starts. He stopped 130 of his last 133 shots. He came in relief of Michael Neuwirth in Monday's win against the Tampa Bay Lightning, shut them down in the second, third, overtime, and the shootout, and then he had his first career shutout against the Edmonton Oilers back on Wednesday. So he's definitely been on a roll. So right now, under that win-you're-in mentality, it's going to be Holtby in net. He might, for maybe until he gives up a goal, but I wouldn't necessarily say he's the starter, but he should definitely be in consideration for the position considering Semyon Varlamov's injury status.
I mean, does this winning you're in or ride the hot goalie stuff like work? I mean, because the counter argument to that, well, obviously the argument for that is that whoever's playing well should play because you want to have the guy who's playing well. But the counter argument is that a goalie needs like a few games to kind of get into a rhythm. Do you think that winning you're in, ride the hot goalie stuff is going to work come playoff time?
That's an interesting question because as much as Bruce likes to change the forward and defensive pairings, as much as it works for a little bit, you can't teach chemistry. So I think that having the goalie switch all the time probably isn't a good idea. But you have to also keep in mind that whatever Bruce decides during the regular season might not stand up, because during the last two seasons he decided to go with Jose Theodore in net, and then within a game he was like, oh, you're done, and then put in Semyon Varlamov instead. So whoever gets the goaltending number one, you know, spot coming into the playoffs might not keep it after one game, depending on how they play. I mean, Theodore didn't play necessarily well in both of his first two starts the last two playoff years. So it might not happen. But you're right. I think that this win-you're-in mentality is good because it builds confidence, but then it also messes up goalies because if they mess up, then they're worried that they're not going to start the next game. So if Holtby goes out and gives up four goals in the game, does that mean, oh, well, you had a good run, now you're going to sit on the bench until Neuwirth or Varlamov screws up? I think that there definitely needs to be some sort of concrete way that Boudreau can figure out who the goalie is, and he's running out of time. The playoffs started in months, so he better figure it out or there's going to be some issues.
Yeah, we're here with Adam Vingan. He's from SB Nation DC, also KOL is the blog Kings of Leonsis, talking Capitals with us here on SB Nation Radio. Scott Jackson and Mike Prada here on 106.7 The Fan. Well, you know, it is interesting, and I know a lot of people don't like that. You just wish you had, you know, obviously a guy, Dominic Hasek would be great back in the day, or a Patrick Waugh, but, I mean, there has been evidence and cases to be made for doing what Boudreau has done when you look back at the Carolina Hurricanes run a few years back. Obviously, Cam Ward was not the guy going into the playoffs and then became the goalie as the playoffs went on. So, there has been that path at least done before with teams.
Yes, and Cam Ward walked away with the Conn Smythe Trophy for his work in that Stanley Cup winning run that the Hurricanes had. It's going to be until the last day. We're not going to find out because all three goalies have definitely proven themselves worthy. Neubert was the Rookie of the Month in October, has the record of 22-10-4 with a 2.47 goals against average. He set a Caps rookie record with his number of wins. Holpe's been on fire lately. Varlamov has had a great string, especially around the beginning of the year in the Winter Classic. You know, albeit his injuries have kept him on the shelf, but what else is new when it comes to Semyon Varlamov?
Right.
But they've all proven themselves worthy. Now, we're going to have to figure out if Bruce is going to use that win-you're-in mentality that we talked about earlier and say, well, you've been playing the best lately, so you're going to go into the playoffs. Or is he going to figure out, well, you've been good all year long. This is where you deserve it. And under that logic, Michael Neuber should undoubtedly be the number one goaltender going into the playoffs. Who the backup is going to be an interesting choice because Varlamov has the playoff experience. Neuber and Holby do not. Varlamov definitely came in the last two seasons and kept the Caps in the playoffs with his stellar goaltending, but he's been injured so many times this season, and he's been such a hazard when it comes to that, that you really want your goaltender in the playoffs to be, you know, injury prone. I think that if I had to make the choice as of today, it would be Neuwirth and Holtby, because Varlamov has been out so long, just like he was at the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, Neuwirth took up his spot when he was injured, and now at the end of the season, Holtby's taking up his spot now that he's injured. So I think that if it goes into the playoffs as Neuwirth and Holtby, I think Varlamov's stay in Washington may be numbered.
So we're talking all this time about this goalie issue, and yet the Caps have won six in a row, and all we can talk about is, oh God, they're platooning goalies again. So let's get some positive vibes here. What's been the difference in this six-game winning streak, and is this the kind of thing where it's sustainable, or is it just kind of like that eight-game losing streak where it's just kind of the breaks are kind of going their way?
That's also interesting because if you want some positive on the goaltending in terms of this winning streak, they've only allowed eight goals in the six-game winning streak. So the goalies are playing well, albeit we're talking about which one is out and which one is in. But I just think since the trade deadline, they brought in the guys that they needed. They brought in veteran experience. They brought in Arnott. They brought in Wiseman. They brought in Sturm. And they already had Hannon and Knubel. They're starting to gel. And Arnott said in an interview yesterday, I believe, that, you know, Semyon is one of the most talented players he's ever played with in his career. This is a guy that's been in the league for almost 20 years. So I think they're demanding a lot of this young locker room, these veterans. You know, Ovechkin is, you know, Alex Ovechkin, he's the captain, but like all these other guys, he doesn't have a lot of experience. So I think having all of these other older guys to kind of mentor him and mentor everybody else, it's good. Nicholas Backstrom told me last week that they just hope that they can all get together and get ready for the playoffs together. And they're doing that right now. It's their longest winning streak since October 30th through November 11th. And with another win, would be the longest winning streak of the season, which is funny because their longest winning streak of the season was twice the amount that this one would be. It would be seven this year. It was 14 last year. So it's quite interesting, and I just think that as long as the Caps can continue to, you know, to get together and play well, just like Backstrom said, even though he didn't play in missed his first career game the other day, I think they're just gelling at the right time. You know, when the losing streak happened back in December, everyone was, oh, this is good for them because they've never gone through adversity before because they just were so used to barreling through everyone, winning the President's Trophy, and then going into the playoffs with a head of steam. But the adversity, per se, helped them, and I think that they're gelling at the right time. I'd rather them have a six-game winning streak now than a six-game winning streak in November and an eight-game losing streak now. So I think everything is coming together at the right time. They're just playing really well.
We're here with Adam Bingen, KOL, and SB Nation DC, here with us on 106.7 The Fan, SB Nation Radio. And, you know, the Capitals, the other thing that we're looking at here, too, is just this year, unlike last year, Adam, it sure seems like the trades they made, the guys actually fit.
Yes, definitely. Last year, they brought in guys like Joe Corvo, Scott Walker, Eric Bélanger, and then they brought back Milan Yurchino, who they traded to Columbus with Chris Clark to get Jason Chimera, and then they got him back, but he actually never played once he came back. I think a lot of the moves last year were kind of desperation. I think that people were worried, however, this year that, if, for example, Dennis Wiseman would become Joe Corvo 2.0,
right,
that he was an offensive-minded, puck-moving defenseman that would be good on the power play and then would just be a second Mike Green that wouldn't worry about defense. But Dennis Wiseman has been playing very well, especially in the absence of Green. I think that Joe Corvo was a little bit redundant. Scott Walker was a great pickup because he was the veteran gritty guy that they needed, but he never played. And Eric Bélanger, after giving himself surgery on the bench, was pretty much all he did, and then he, that he was the Phoenix. So I just think that these guys, Sturm, Arnott, and Wyman, could be here to stay for a while. I think Wyman's still under contract, and I think that Arnott's contract expires at the end of the season, but I think as well he's been playing, he could finish his career in Washington. I wouldn't be surprised if George McPhee gave him a 1 or 2 year extension, depending on how long he wants to play. I just think that compared to the 2007-2008 trade deadline, which brought in guys like Sergei Fedorov and Cristóbal Huey, they brought in exactly what they needed, championship experience.
Right.
And if this team is going to go into the playoffs saying, we flamed out last year, we looked really bad, we're becoming the San Jose Sharks of the Eastern Conference, we don't want that. We don't want to choke. We want to win. I think that guys like Arnott, Wyman, and Sturmitt are exactly the kind of players that they needed.
Well, the one concern I have is, what would we be saying if that one game against the Islanders were that late game goal and then Ovechkin's game winner? What if that turned out differently? That's the one concern I have, which is, yeah, they're playing well. They won 6 in a row, but a lot of these games are kind of they're winning really tight games that maybe they weren't winning earlier in the year, but could that also just be like the luck of the draw coming back where they got a little unlucky early and now they're getting a little bit, I don't know if I want to say lucky, but a little fortunate that they're kind of in this position against teams that they should be by more.
Yes, I agree. It was good that Wednesday's win was such a blowout because I think this team needed that.
Yeah,
I think that he needed to play a game that was like, okay, this is a game we're expected to win. The Oilers are the worst team in the league. We should go out there and we should blow them out, and they did. And that was Wednesday's game was the closest thing to last year's Capitals that this year's Capitals have put on so far, and these close games. They weren't used to playing close games. Like I said, like we keep on comparing them to last year and how they're not used to doing what they're doing this year, but it's really true. This is the first time in the quote-unquote Rock the Red era, which started in 2007, that they've really been tested so much. And these one-goal wins, albeit, yes, they got a goal in that Islanders game you mentioned. They scored their first goal with less than a minute left and then scored their game-winning goal with about 2 minutes into overtime. So you could say it's luck, but I also think it's they know how it feels to come back. They lead the NHL in wins when they trail first, and they're the only team in the NHL with an over 500 records in games in which they trail first. So they know how to come back, which they did. They've done plenty of times. They've done that over the years. I can remember a game several years ago where they were down 4-0 to the New York Rangers and came back to win 5-4. So they know how to come back. I just think that the little things, which have been talked about over the weeks about Arnott, you know, setting himself up perfectly for the game-winning goal against St. Louis and knowing what Brooks Lyke was to pass that puck to tie the game against the Islanders. It's the little things, and it's really hard to explain. I think the best thing to say is that, you know, the experience is helping. They're not just throwing pucks at the net and looking lost like they were a few months ago when they were in these games. They haven't given up. Watching this team for so long, especially this season, you would watch them get a two go down by two goals, and they would just feel like the game was over. Mm. They would stop playing, they would just kind of go through the motions, and there'd be 30 minutes left in the game, but you would feel like you're not coming back. Maybe they'll score a goal, but it won't be enough.
I did get that feeling a lot during the Islanders game, though. I won't lie.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Hopefully things work out.
You know. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate it, man. Adam Bingen, again, SB Nation DC. Check out KOL as well. And have a great weekend. Thanks for your time here on SB Nation Radio.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, coming up, we get to some CAA hoops. TJ Doyle is going to join us from SB Nation DC and George LeBlanc here on SB Nation Radio on 106.7 The Fan.